Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we will be going to your calls live in just a few moments. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically, 888-275-4265. Want to say, as we start out the broadcast today, just a few words about the book that is available for those who support the ministry this month, the book designed specifically for you. It is a book titled Prophetic Stars and the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, and I've used the acronym STARS to give you the highlights of biblical prophecy. And as I've mentioned many times, biblical prophecy is not intended for you to pin the tail on a 21st century Antichrist. What prophecy in Scripture is designed to do is to demonstrate that the Bible is indeed the Word of God. As Jesus put it, I have told you now before it happens, so that when it happens, you will believe. In other words, prophecy is told ahead of time so that we can know that the pages of Scripture are indeed fail-safe, secure, true, dependable. So let me say just a little bit about the A in the acronym STARS. In previous broadcasts, I've talked about the succession of nations as depicted by Daniel. I've talked about typological prophecy versus predictive prophecy, a fascinating chapter. And today I want to, again, focus for just a few moments on the A, the middle letter. It stands for the abomination of desolation. Now, if you've been living in the 21st century, as we all have, you've heard a lot of stories, a lot of commentary on the abomination of desolation. And particularly if you are in school, if you go to university, you will hear professors demonstrate that the abomination of desolation prophecies are proof positive that the Bible is an insecure repository of redemptive revelation, something that you simply cannot trust. What's happened is, as a result of this in particular, the Bible has been twisted into a pathetic caricature of itself. Great and glorious passages that demonstrate beyond the peradventure of a doubt that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin have been grotesquely twisted to make the Bible appear merely human as opposed to divine. And I'm thinking right now about a particular professor, Bart Ehrman. He has made a cottage industry of mocking Jesus Christ. In fact, he has called Jesus Christ a false apocalyptic prophet who was not only mistaken, but misguided in predicting that his generation would experience the end of the world. Now think about that for a moment. You have a professor of religious studies in one of the most prominent universities in America saying that Jesus Christ is a false apocalyptic prophet. Now those are strong words. Let me let you hear him speak for himself. This is what he says. Jesus fully expected that the history of the world as we know it was going to come to a screeching halt, that God was going to intervene in the affairs of his world, overthrow the forces of evil in the cosmic act of judgment, destroy huge masses of humanity, abolish existing human political and religious institutions, and all of this would be a prelude Well, to the arrival of a new order on earth, the kingdom of God. And then says Ehrman, moreover, Jesus expected this cataclysmic end of history would come in his own generation, at least during the lifetime of his disciples. And then says Ehrman, it's pretty shocking stuff, really. And the evidence that Jesus believed and taught it is fairly impressive. So here he has given his students, who he's quite proud to say will, by and large, leave the faith as a result of his erudite scholarship, he's told them how Jesus is a false apocalyptic prophet. Now, what I find inconceivable, particularly for a highly touted scholar, is that he uses the word spoken of by Jesus as evidence of a judgment that was universal. He says this effect is spelled out in language that heightens its cosmic nature when he says the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. But if his students are equipped, if they know how to compare Scripture with Scripture, they would know that it is obvious to anyone, even a schoolboy with a Bible in hand, that Jesus uses the languages sun, moon, and stars to predict his coming in judgment, not his judgment in coming at the end of time. Now, why do I say anyone, even a schoolboy? Is that hyperbole? No, because if you've read through the Bible even once, you are familiar with the words of Ezekiel or Joel or Amos or Zephaniah, who all spoke in similar fashion. They use the metaphorical imagery of cosmic disturbances to predict judgment in their generation. Easy for me to say. So what I was just trying to say is that they use the metaphorical imagery of cosmic disturbances to predict judgment in their own generations. Isaiah is a classic case in point. He said, see, the day of the Lord is coming, a cruel day, with wrath and fierce anger to make the land desolate and to destroy sinners within it. Then he says, the stars of heaven and their constellations will not show their light, the rising sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. So again, those familiar with biblical language know exactly what he's talking about, but those unfamiliar with biblical language take these words to mean the end of the world. Of course, in context, Isaiah is simply prophesying that the Medes were about to put an end to the glories of the Babylonian kingdom. The point here is that far from being undressed as a false prophet who thought that the world was going to end within the generation of his disciples, Jesus rightly prophesied that his generation would see the destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of the Jerusalem temple. And so when the disciples asked the master about the time of his coming and judgment, he gave them an unmistakable sign. He said, when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let no one on the roof of his house go down to take anything out of his house. Let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. As such, the abomination of desolation is a dazzling star in the constellation of biblical prophecy, hardly proof positive that Jesus is a false apocalyptic prophet. Common sense alone is sufficient to convince the unbiased that redefining the word coming to mean second coming and the phrase end of the age in the Olivet Discourse to mean end of the world is at best misguided. And it is all part and parcel of not understanding the art and science of biblical interpretation. And that's one of the takeaways of this book. When you read through it, you will start to understand how the art and science of biblical interpretation works. Again, Prophetic Stars and the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, available for your support of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and our outreaches around the world. Check it out on the web, equip.org, or simply write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. First up is Mike. He's listening in Nashville, Tennessee, Bot Radio. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. I just want to say, first of all, I appreciate your consistent hard work. I know doing the same thing every day got to be hard, but you do it well. Well, my question, I feel God calling me into apologetics. I have some friends that I've known in the past that have done that, and they're doing pretty well, but I would just want to know maybe some advice and some do's and some don'ts of someone getting into that, and I'll hang up and listen.
Sure. Yeah, well, I don't think this is something that one person in particular should be thinking about getting into. This should be something that all believers are committed to, particularly in this epoch of time when it is necessary to give reasons for faith. There may have been a time 50 years ago when it wasn't necessary to convince people that God had created the universe. Now, obviously, there would be people that were atheists, but a vast majority of people were of a different persuasion. But today, particularly in America, it is so necessary to be able to demonstrate that God created the universe, that Jesus Christ is God, demonstrated that he is God through the immutable fact of his resurrection, and that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. I was speaking to a Muslim at Harvard University this past weekend, and it was interesting because one of the things he was pointing out is that from his perspective, there wasn't a whole lot of difference between Christianity and Islam. Reason being is that they believe Jesus to be a sinless prophet and have great respect for Jesus Christ. Of course, the first thing I asked was, but do you believe, Kareem, that he is divine as opposed to being merely human? Because from what I've heard of Islam, to say that very thing is the unforgivable sin of shirk, S-H-I-R-K. Well, he immediately agreed. He said, yes, to assign partners to God is an unforgivable sin because God begetteth not, nor is he begotten. I said, well, therein lies the problem. I said, furthermore, according to your theology, if I'm not mistaken, Jesus Christ was never crucified. And he agreed, yes, Jesus Christ was never crucified. And I said, well, if that is true, then Jesus Christ was never resurrected. And resurrection is the central theme in Christian theology. It is the thing that gives us hope. So you have to be able to demonstrate that Jesus Christ is God, demonstrated that he was God through the immutable fact of resurrection, and you have to be able to demonstrate that the Bible is a reliable authority. Lord knows, it's not just at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. You go to Harvard or Princeton or universities around the world, and the theme is always the same. The Bible is an unreliable authority. Jesus was a false apocalyptic prophet, and the stories go on and on. Therefore, it is incumbent upon every Christian not only to know what they believe, but why they believe what they believe, so that when God gives them opportunities, they can share the truth and life and grace that only Jesus Christ brings to the human heart. And so my advice in terms of getting into apologetics is to learn those great apologetic issues and then also become a student of learning how to rightly read the Scriptures, how to rightly interpret the Scriptures, because many of the professors and students and people in the general population, and I was talking to was from Saudi Arabia, but the people in the general population, they simply have a false conception, misconception, misguided preconceptions of the Bible, and to be able to dispel those and then use the opportunity as a springboard to share the gospel is one of the greatest joys you could possibly have. No real pressure in talking anyone into the kingdom. The Holy Spirit does that, but we should be equipped to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. Back on the other side of the break with answers to your questions.
For hundreds of years, prophecy pundits, with their incurable compulsion to set dates and timetables about end-time events, have been wrong 100% of the time. Yet these blind guides continue to lead multitudes of Christians astray with their prognostications. That's why Hank Hanegraaff produced the book Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, which offers the tools you need to interpret biblical prophecy correctly and avoid the dangers and silliness of doomsday hysteria. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The plural marriages of Joseph Smith have become a public relations nightmare within Mormonism. In late 2013, The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints began publishing essays on plural marriage, awakening many members to the distressing realization that Joseph Smith, their beloved founder, was Mormonism's first polygamist. Smith married 30 to 40 women, half of whom were teenagers or already married to other men. Other topics include evaluating the Star Wars worldview, organ transplantation and human value, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Endless predictions about end-time events and published timetables counting down the end have proven to be wrong 100% of the time. When doomsday predictions fail, there is double-duty damage. Many theologically juvenile and scripturally superficial Christians abandon the faith as a result of these failed predictions, and the public image of Christianity is damaged, making Christians appear to be hopelessly naive and easily duped biblical bumpkins. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will equip you not only to interpret biblical prophecy correctly, but to remember it as well. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Did you know less than 1% of the leaders of house churches in China have any seminary training? And only 2% would even qualify for seminary given education levels and income. To help remedy this situation, CRI has set in motion a 10-year Going Global initiative to provide resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults in Mandarin and Spanish. Your prayers and support are vital to fulfilling CRI's Going Global initiative. Toward that end, we are offering the book Pray for the World, which provides well-researched information on what God is doing throughout the world and will help direct our prayers for the global church. To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thanks for your gift in support of CRI's Going Global initiative, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Did you know that 6 centuries before the birth of Christ, the prophet Daniel accurately predicted the rise and fall of Babylon, Media, the Medo-Persian Empire, and the Grecian Empire? Master the tools of interpreting biblical prophecy and begin to understand how we know the Bible is divine rather than merely human in origin with Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Kevin listening in Nashville, Tennessee on Bot Radio. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. I have a problem. I was born a hermaphrodite, and my parents didn't make the choice for me. And I'm confused as if it would be a sin to choose to be a man or a girl, you know? And I'm just really confused. And I just want to know if there's anything in the Bible that could help me.
Well, I think that what needs to happen is competent biblical and medical counsel. I think that's first and foremost. I think that anyone who is suffering from gender confusion should not pursue such things as marriage until the confusion has been biblically resolved. And that sometimes seems harsh at face value, but it's no different than the requirement placed on all believers to die to sin and live for righteousness through the power of Christ with the help of the Holy Spirit. But this is something that goes far beyond an electronic soundbite. It really requires those who have competent counsel, boots on the ground, as it were, to relate to you, to love you within the context of a healthy, well-balanced church.
I'm just wondering, because if I were to choose one or the other and get married, would God see that as sinful? Or
I think you want to resolve properly the gender confusion. That's the first issue, and then recognize that all disorders, and even death itself, ultimately results from the fall. I mean, your condition is a very, very rare condition, but it warrants good biblical counsel and good medical counsel so that proper gender assignment is made, so that it is not simply arbitrary, but well thought out, again, within the context of good counsel. And I simply do not have the wherewithal to give that to you. I would be remiss if I tried to do that as an electronic soundbite. I'm happy to help you off air, try to work towards resolution with good counsel, but to do that over the airwaves would simply be irresponsible for me.
Can I ask you one last question?
Sure, yeah.
If I can get to heaven, God willing, do you think he will have had, will have my new body will be the way God wants me, or the way that I ultimately might choose?
No, when you are resurrected, you will be resurrected as you were intended to be before sin entered the world. So the DNA that makes you you will flourish in complete perfection without the encumberment of a distorted world, a world in which there's disease and sickness and death and disorders and so forth. So you will be resurrected to what you were intended to be without sin, as I will. I have my own deformities to deal with. We all do.
Okay. Thank you so much, Hank.
You got it, Kevin. Again, if we can help you, please do not go away. Hang on. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Erica, listening in Giddings, Texas, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Erica.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. I'm sorry to the guy that took my call. My question totally changed. But my question is, if you are seeking direction from God and wanting to know about a step to take, how do you know, like confirmation, how do you know that it's him telling you to do it? I hear people say, oh, I just knew in my spirit. I heard in my spirit. Like, I'm not quite sure. Is it audible, you know?
Well, God directs us through circumstances and through people, and he does direct us through that still small voice within, but that still small voice within is always informed by prayer, by getting into the Word of God, getting the Word of God into you so that you understand the precepts and the principles of Scripture, and thus whatever it is that you are intending to do does not violate them. But God directs us through people and circumstances. Can he do it in a miraculous fashion? Of course. He directed the Apostle Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, in a miraculous fashion, but that's non-normative.
Okay, because I just believe in the right timing. You know, some things are good to do, but if it's not in God's timing, it may not be the way he had intended it to be. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So
and what's so...
Sure, I step out, but I do it in his timing.
Sure. And what's so wonderful about the Christian life is that prior to becoming a Christian, trying to determine what we're going to do, when we're going to do it, is like finding a needle in a haystack. But when you become a believer and you're committed to communication with God, then what you are intended to do is directed. It's what the Bible says. We choose our path, God directs our steps. So we're involved in the process, but God is guiding us as one of his beloved sheep.
Okay, and I know his sheep know his voice, so... Okay, well, thank you, Hank. I appreciate your time.
Hey, you got it, Erica. Thank you for your call. Ryan next in Washington, listening on the web. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, doing well. I have a question about in the King James Bible. I normally don't read the King James Bible, but I was reading about a contradiction with Acts regarding Acts 9:7 and Acts 22:9, where the conversion of Saul on the road to Damascus. In 9:7, it says that the men with him heard the voice, and then in 22:9, they did not hear the voice. So I was wondering what was going on there.
Yeah, I mean, there are some translations like the KJV that render the text hear rather than understand the voice. But what Acts 22:9 is conveying is that Paul's companions did not hear the voice as a thought-conveying message. So they heard the sound but did not understand it as a thought-conveying message in the same sense that Saul did. And that, of course, makes perfect sense within the context of both what's explained in Acts chapter 22 and Acts chapter 9.
Okay, so would that be just a kind of a mistranslation with the...
Well, I think it's an insufficient translation, and that's why the newer translators have pointed out that here ought to be correctly rendered understand. That's the actual sense of the Greek. It is that Paul's companions heard but did not understand the voice. To them, the voice was like the sound of thunder.
Okay. I just had one more quick question, if I could.
Sure.
I was wondering I'm not sure what verse, I think it's in Romans where it says, when the perfect comes, it talks about tongues will cease and basically the gifts of the Holy Spirit ceasing when the perfect comes.
Right. Yeah. And this is in Romans chapter... 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I was thinking Romans, and in fact, I just turned to it and I realized, what is going on? No, it's obviously the great chapter on love. And in 1 Corinthians 13, there does not refer to that which is perfect in the sense that a lot of people interpret it. So they think this refers to the second coming of Christ. But obviously, it does not refer to the canon as that which is perfect. It refers to the second coming of Christ as that which is perfect, because if you read the text, verse 12, in fact, let me start verse 8, love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. Now, obviously, we don't see face to face or know fully now. So while some people have rendered this, as I said, to be the completion of the canon, I think that this has to do with the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Okay, well, then I was wondering, then have the gifts of the Spirit ceased as far as miracle, working in miracles and tongues and things like that? Or?
Well, I would say that the gift of miracles is non-normative today. I wouldn't say that it has ceased in the sense that God can perform miracles today through His beloved, just as He could in years past, but I think what you have in terms of the miracles of Scripture, just as the prophecies of Scripture, is a way of understanding that the Bible is reliable. So the prophets were able to predict the future. The apostles were spokesmen for God, and they were authenticated by their miracles, and thus they were those that could be trusted, because in the case of the prophets, what they said came to pass. In the case of the apostles, they were able to do the miraculous and were set apart through their miraculous gifts. So again, I'm not suggesting that it is impossible for God to work a gift through someone. That would be overstating the case, but I would say that it is correct to say it's non-normative. And if it was normative, of course, we wouldn't be calling them miracles to begin with.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, and there are a lot of these guys that are going around the country saying that they're raising people from the dead, and they're doing this and that and the other thing. But quite frankly, having checked out their miracle claims, they don't check out, number one. Number two, if they really had that gift, why aren't they in hospitals emptying them out?
Right. Right. Okay. Well, that makes sense. Thank you.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. We're coming to a station break, and as we go to break, a reminder that when you become a CRI support team member, you commit to supporting the Christian Research Institute and its many outreach ministries with your ongoing support. In appreciation of your support, you'll receive a personalized copy of one of my books, any one of them, as requested to you, a family member or a friend. It's as easy as going to equip.org/donate. Also, there is a wonderful friend of the ministry who has a matching grant in play as we speak. So whatever you give will be doubled as a result of his generosity and your commitment to standing with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web. And the matching gift is really intended to attract new donors and new members of our CRI support team. So that would be a wonderful addition if you joined many others standing shoulder to shoulder. Be right back with more.
As a student of the Bible, you probably know that predictive prophecy is straightforward, that the prophet Micah directly predicted the birth of Christ in Bethlehem. But can you explain exactly how Christ's birth fulfills Isaiah's puzzling prophecy, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son? To apprehend this and other mysteries of Scripture, get your copy of Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy by Hank Hanegraaff. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip, www.hankhanagraph.org. Hank will be back right after this. Multitudes of Christian brothers and sisters in the Global South urgently need basic materials to ground their faith. That's why CRI has embarked on a 10-year strategy called Going Global. This initiative will provide resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults in Mandarin and Spanish, two of the world's largest mega languages. Since prayer is the fuel of global missions, we are offering the book Pray for the World, which provides well-researched information on what God in Christ is doing in countries throughout the world to help direct our prayers for the global church. Hank Hanegraaff and CRI will be using this vital resource to pray strategically for our Going Global initiative. To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org, equip.org. With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Organ transplantation has saved many lives, but ethical questions persist regarding the methods of organ donation, including how doctors determine whether a patient has actually died. Christians should soberly assess the impact that organ donation has on the perceived value of human life. Other topics include contemporary atheist and sneer pressure, living as a Christian in a TV-dominated world. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? What does the Bible teach about the cannabis plant? And does the Bible actually prohibit polygamy? Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. You probably know that predictive prophecy in the Bible is straightforward, that the prophet Isaiah directly predicted the destruction of the ancient Phoenician port of Tyre. But can you explain how the prophesied abomination of desolation by which the temple was desecrated in 167 BC and destroyed in AD 70 reveals the divine inspiration of the Bible? To apprehend this and other mysteries of Scripture, get your copy of Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy by Hank Hanegraaff. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. By the way, the book Prophetic Stars and the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy is replete with prayers and questions for discussion, and I think those questions for discussion kind of open up your mind to what is going on in the text, because the questions really cause you to pause and think. The prayers that are part and parcel worth the price of admission all by themselves. Again, Prophetic Stars and the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, available for your support of the ministry all this month. Quick program note, likely going to stay here for an extra hour once we go off the air, continue taking your calls. So if I don't get to you in this segment, I'll try to get to you after we go off the air. I'll record that, and we'll play that on a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Christian, listening in Richmond, Virginia. Hi, Christian.
Hey, how you doing, Hank?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good, thanks to God. I got a quick question that has been working my mind a little bit. What is your belief, or what do you think about apostles? They are claiming, people that are claiming themselves to be apostles at this time. Because I know that Scripture, Paul says that he has the last of the apostles as some aborted son. He claimed to be the last apostle. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I think that words are not univocal, they're equivocal, so it depends on what you mean by apostle. But certainly, if you're talking about an apostle like the Apostle Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament epistles, or you're talking about a prophet like Jeremiah, there are no super apostles and prophets around today, as some are claiming. When I say super, that is precisely what they claim. Some of them say that they are so super that the apostles like Jeremiah or Isaiah, like Ezekiel or Hosea, the apostles like John or Paul or Peter or James would stand in line just to be getting their autographs, because what they will be doing is far greater than what the biblical prophets did. In that sense, I can say that these people are seriously deluded. But if you say an apostle in the sense of a missionary or a pastor of pastors, or a prophet in the sense of a leader who is equipping and empowering and strengthening the church, yeah, those words are wholly appropriate. But the inappropriate sense in which it's being used today by people in the Word of Faith movement and otherwise, it is not only diluted, but, well, I was going to use another word, but probably best that I don't.
Because I do understand that the word apostle itself means like sent, that someone has been sent to do a job, let's say like that. But to put it in like biblical terms, like claiming to be like apostles like Paul and such, I mean, they're actually claiming that the five ministries have been reestablished, like in the time their prophecy and the apostolic ministry were lost, and now in this time they've been reinstated in.
Yeah, well, again, they are dead wrong. The Bible teaches that the apostles and prophets were commissioned by God to be his personal spokespersons. And if you look at Ephesians 2, it lets us know that the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. And that that foundation is not being relayed in the present. And I think also the prophetic words of Scripture expose today's pretenders. They not only fail the biblical tests, like as given in Deuteronomy 13 and 18, but they mouth empty, boastful words, as Acts 1 puts it, and appeal to the lustful desires of sinful human nature, and entice in the process people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. And I think, as harsh as that is, the words of Peter there are words that apply to many of those today who are claiming to be super apostles or prophets.
Right. All right. Thank you very much. God bless you. Appreciate
it. You got it. Thank you for your call. Aaron next in Bismarck, North Dakota, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Aaron.
It's a pleasure to talk to you. I've been listening for quite a while, and I've heard you talk about Revelation on numerous occasions, and I really appreciate your take on things and how you laid it all out. I have read your book, Apocalypse Code, and I've shared it with a friend of mine, and a friend of mine, a housemate actually, he has been through seminary and so forth, and the question that he raised was, how does one know if it's referring to near future or far future, or or if there's a single fulfillment or a double fulfillment. And I didn't really know how to answer that, because he's really married to the whole thought of a pre-tribulational rapture, and he's just stuck on that. But however, after reading your book, he definitely had to scratch his head and rethink things a little bit. That was the question he raised, was how does one know between near or far future?
Yeah, well, what's interesting is that if you look at my chapter in the book that we're sending out to people who support the Ministry of Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, there I talk about typological prophecy and the process show the utter bankruptcy of taking certain prophecies and doubling them and then driving them into the future. Like the Isaiah 7 prophecy, which is fulfilled in Isaiah chapter 8, but then typologically fulfilled through Jesus Christ, who is the Messiah. But if you try to make this a double fulfillment, you end up losing the very people that you are witnessing to. And I give an illustration of that in the section on typological prophecy. In fact, I give three different sections that I use as examples. But yeah, taking the prophecies, doubling them, and driving them in the future is quite bankrupt because of the context. Now, there is a sense in which you can say that there are prophecies that are made in the book of Revelation, and they apply to the seven churches in the province of Asia. They apply in a first century context, but they have certain application to us in the present, which is to say that there is going to be an ultimate day of judgment, right? And so I think that there's a sense in which you can telescope and see that the fact that Jesus Christ came in judgment on Jerusalem and the temple shows that he is a true prophet. What he said came to pass precisely as he said it would come to pass, and therefore we can also trust his words when he says he will come again to judge the living and the dead, that he will appear a second time. So we can look forward to the time that Jesus himself returns, and that return is a coming of sort, and so in that sense, I suppose you could look at it as having not only a for future fulfillment, but also a final future fulfillment.
Sure. Okay, well, I appreciate it.
Yeah, again, the section on typological prophecy, I think if people got those principles down pat or mastered those principles, we would be in good stead today.
Okay, I'll check that one out. I appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Cameron next. He's listening in South Dakota. Hi.
Yes. Hi, Hank. My name is Cameron. I'm a youth pastor here in South Dakota.
Uh-huh.
And I after listening to your show, I listen to your show probably like maybe five days of a week. However, just by some of the questions that you have been asked, I kind of wonder, why is it that people diminish the power of the Holy Spirit to empower them to overcome their own trials within their own lives? And I understand that we seek guidance as unbelievers, as a body of believers, we seek guidance, we seek counsel to help us get through these trials within our lives. But why is it that we believe that only within people to answer our questions and don't necessarily go to God or the Holy Spirit himself to empower us or to give us the guidance that we need to conquer these trials within our own lives?
Yeah, and a good point. I think that we so often rely only on human sources, as you so ably point out, instead of relying on the ultimate source, and that is the fact that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit and can be infilled or empowered for service. And I find myself in that circumstance, Cameron, every single day as I get ready to do the show. I pray for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, so that what I do is far more than giving an answer, but actually reaching a person. And I think this is the same thing that you're alluding to, that we should all be focused in on. The Holy Spirit can give us wisdom. He gives us wisdom that bypasses the normal. And I've actually written about this in one of my books, where I point out how the Holy Spirit empowers us to do what we cannot do on our own.
Absolutely. And I couldn't agree with you more, Hank. But again, it's so watered down within churches nowadays that it's honestly, Hank, it drives me crazy that we put more faith in people rather than we do in God. And you know, I was reading this book by John Bevere, and it's called Debate of Satan. And when people sell us rather than God, when people sell us, I say, if I come to you and I ask you a question and you give me an answer, and if I fail because of the answer that you have given me, I become more offended towards you, and then I put you on such a pedestal within my life that I hate you with such a strong passion. And I believe that if we truly just go to God with everything that all we are, rather than treating God like a fan and start being a disciple to Christ, then we'll become more prone to, you know, seeking answers from God and being able to find our way through this, you know, this life that is so devastating to one another. But, you know, Hank, I honestly love you, and I pray that you just continue to just minister to people. So just keep doing what you're doing.
Hey, thank you, Cameron. Appreciate your call. I wish I could continue the conversation with you, but we're out of time for today's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We're going to stay right here for an extra hour once we go off the air. Continue taking your calls. So if you're hanging on, please be patient. I'll get to you. And if you're dialing, you can dial for the next hour. Keep asking questions for the next hour. 888-ASK-HANK. That's the number to dial. 888-ASK-HANK for the next hour. I'll stay right here. So long for now.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Endless predictions about end-time events and published timetables counting down the end have proven to be wrong 100% of the time. When doomsday predictions fail, there is double-duty damage. Many theologically juvenile and scripturally superficial Christians abandon the faith as a result of these failed predictions, and the public image of Christianity is damaged, making Christians appear to be hopelessly naive and easily duped biblical bumpkins. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will equip you not only to interpret biblical prophecy correctly, but to remember it as well. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Did you know less than 1% of the leaders of house churches in China have any seminary training? And only 2% would even qualify for seminary given education levels and income. To help remedy this situation, CRI has set in motion a 10-year Going Global initiative to provide resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults in Mandarin and Spanish. Your prayers and support are vital to fulfilling CRI's Going Global initiative. Toward that end, we are offering the book Pray for the World, which provides well-researched information on what God is doing throughout the world and will help direct our prayers for the global church. To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thanks for your gift in support of CRI's Going Global initiative, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.